ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Text number 6. Sri Narada Uvacha. Shrutva Putra Giro Daitya. Shrutva Putra Giro Daitya. Parapaksha samahitaha. Parapaksha samahitaha. Jahasa budir balanam. Jahasa budir balanam. Vidyate parabuddhi hidibhi. Vidyate parabuddhi buddhi bihi. Narada Muni continued, when Prahlad Maharaj spoke about the path of self-realization in devotional service, thus being faithful to the camp of his father's enemies, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, heard Prahlad's words and he laughingly said, "Thus is the intelligence of small children, spoiled by the words of the enemy." In response, please. Narada Muni continued, when Prahlad Maharaj spoke about the path of self-realization in devotional service, thus being faithful to the camp of his father's enemies, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, heard Prahlad's words, and he laughingly said, "Thus is the intelligence of children, spoiled by the words of the enemy." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hiranyakashipu, being a demon, would always consider Lord Vishnu and his devotees to be his enemies. Therefore, the word parapaksha, on the side of the enemy, is used here. Hiranyakashipu never agreed with the words of Vishnu or Krishna. Rather, he was angered by the intelligence of a Vaishnava. Lord Krishna says, "Sarva dharma parityajya mam ekam sharanam vaja." Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. But demons like Hiranyakashipu never agree to this. Therefore, Krishna says, "Namam duskritina mura prabhajante naradam maya parityajyan asuram bhavam ashritaha." Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Bhagavad Gita 7:15. The asura bhav, the atheistic nature, is directly presented by Hiranyakashipu. Such persons being Muda and Naradam, fools and rascals, the lowest of men, would never accept Vishnu as the supreme and surrender to him. Hiranyakashipu naturally became increasingly angry that his son Prahlad was being influenced by the camp of the enemies. He therefore asked that saintly person like Narad not be allowed within the residential quarters of his son, for otherwise Prahlad will be further spoiled by the Vaishnav instructions. Om Gyanti Mirandasya. So many years ago, I remember my father saying to me, actually in England the slang word for father is dad. Is that the same in, what's the Hindu word for father? Pita. So, he said he once had a he had a friend at school who was very, very inquisitive. And always asking his father questions. So one day he went to his father and he said, "Dad, what makes the sun continually burn? Why doesn't it actually sometimes or at some point start to diminish like all other fires?" The scientists said the sun is just a ball of fire. So his father put down the paper and he looked at his son and he thought for a while. He said, "I don't know, son." And so his son went away, his father picked up the paper again and he carried on reading. So a little later the little boy came back and said, "Father, why do all the stars stay suspended in the sky?" And his father put down the paper again and looked at his son. And after a while he said, "I don't know, lad." So his son went away and he picked up the paper and started reading again. Then a little later his son came back. He said, "Dad." He said, "Yes, son." He says, "Where does everything come from?" So his father put down the paper and looked at his son and thought for a while. I said, "I don't know, son. Ask your mother." So then the boy went away. And a little later he came back again. And he said, "Father, Dad." He said, "Yes, son. I hope you don't mind me asking you all these questions." And his father said, "Of course not, son. If you never ask, you'll never learn." So this is a position with anybody who's materially engrossed. Hiranyakashipu was different from the modern day so-called learned scholars and general public. Whether his father answered the question or not, it would have been the same. As Prabhupada said, it all amounts to zero. Actually, to answer his son's question would have been a greater deficit for the son. Just like this is material education. Material education means, as Isha Upanishads explained, that a cobra is dangerous. But more dangerous than a cobra is when a cobra is nicely decorated, especially with a jewel, because a lusty person will become attracted. And that means he's finished, death. So likewise, unless we're fixed in the Vaishnava philosophy, then best to keep quiet. Prabhupada said some yoga practices, they tell their students to keep quiet. Why? Because they just create disturbance. So this is so Hiranyakashipu was very learned actually. Most of the kings of that time, whether they were demonic bhava or divine bhava, they understood the goal of life. Just like Kamsa. Kamsa preached very nicely to Devaki and Vasudev after he realized that Durga Devi, who was his worshipful deity, was also very dear to Devaki. He became very astounded and he started to repent and he gave very nice instructions about not being the body and not to lament over things that we attach to this body. But at the end of the day, why didn't he actually, if he understands so much Vaishnava philosophy, why did he stay as a demon? And he answers, because they say knowledge will take us beyond ignorance. And then when we go beyond ignorance, then we can perfect our lives. But yet, Kamsa understood the Vaishnava philosophy very nicely. But he was fearful. Very fearful. Sorry? Yes, that's the result, but what was the cause? Attachment, envious of the devotees.
Failure to surrender to Krishna.
Failure to surrender to Krishna. These are all very good answers. No realization. All these are first-class answers. But actually, the Bhagavatam explains that he had bad association. He was given bad instruction. He even actually surrendered to the idea that he shouldn't interfere with Devaki and Vasudeva and the Vaishnavas. But then when he went back to his cohorts, to his fellow demons, then they preached very vehemently that we should, and he even went completely the other way, just by association. He started killing all the young born children and imprisoned Devaki, dethroned his father. So this is very important. Yet Hiranyakashipu had good association. So what was the problem there? Kamsa had bad association. We can understand this. Hiranyakashipu had good association, but he still was demoniac. So what was the problem here? He was cursed to be a demon. I didn't think about that one. Stubborn. Yeah, actually, he was cursed to be a demon, very stubborn. This is true, because if we really want, it's up to the individual living entity to change his. We come to this material world out of our own accord, and we have the ability to surrender to Krishna and get out of the material world. That surrendering process is up to the individual, so that has to be there. But we all have some demoniac and some divine qualities. We tend to think of, when we read about it, or I do anyway, we read about Hiranyakashipu and we think, wow, what a demon. But then, a little way down the road, we find out that, wow, what a demon. It's also here. And Krishna keeps putting us into a position where it comes up and it's not very nice. So this is the process of devotional service, is to practice and be able to be tolerant. The first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is to tolerate all situations. And we also have to tolerate internal turmoil, because that internal turmoil is purifying us. And we have to stay steady and not become disheartened or diverted and see things in proper perspective. So therefore, we can go on to the next stage of this class, where even a great devotee and the leader of the universe, Lord Brahma, he's actually pure intelligence, a body of pure intelligence. How can he become bewildered? But we all know in the Brahma Vimoha Leela, he certainly became bewildered. In fact, he was in the association of Krishna. And even while in that association, something came into his mind. And he looked at Krishna and thought, how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead be talking like a 5-year-old child and have a lump of yogurt and rice in his hand, in his left hand? This is not Vedic. And so he had some, doubt. Doubt came into his mind. And from doubt comes illusion. So, Bhaktivinoda, this is a very dangerous thing actually. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that, I'll just wrote a little bit here, in brief, in the Bhakti Aloka, he says that when one is doubtful, then one becomes corrupted. And then from that corruption, one's desires become polluted. And then when desires become polluted, we have unwanted results, unwanted activities, and then everything becomes spoiled. This is the nature of doubt. So we find in this Brahma Vimoha Leela that Krishna worked in such a way as to purify Lord Brahma of that doubt. Actually, Prabhupada, Arjuna calls Krishna Madhusudan, or the killer of Madhu. And once Srila Prabhupada's, one of his disciples, he called him Madhusudan. And he wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote back, he says, "You are always doubtful." He was writing about his doubts. And Prabhupada said, "You have to be very careful about this. You should associate with your God brothers very nicely." And in this way, he says, Maya is peeking at you. He said, "If you don't take care soon, then it will prove fatal." So I'm just pointing out that these doubts are meant to be... Doubts are not wrong. Doubts are a sign of intelligence. But doubts are meant to be cleared away. So this is why we need the association of devotees. Obviously, Guru, Shastra and Sadhu are there. But we need to... That personal association is filled with realization. And that's the advantage. So... Bhaktivinoda Thakura then says that when we remove doubt, then nishchayat, he was talking about the third verse of the Nectar of Instruction, then nishchayat, we become confident. And when we're confident, we can be enthusiastic. And when we're enthusiasm, and when we're confident, even though there is ups and downs, we can face them and be patient. So very important to free ourselves from doubt. What's the cure for doubt? We've just mentioned the association of devotees, but there was once one person, he was walking through the forest. He was going to the other side of the forest to do his daily business. And in the distance he heard a sawing noise. And when he reached that point, he saw one woodcutter. He was working very vigorously, sweating very profusely and grunting. And he noticed that he was halfway through the log. And then, so he took note and he carried on. Good day. And 3 or 4 hours later, he came back and he heard the same sawing noise. And he saw the same woodcutter sawing through the log. The same log, 2 hours later, and he was only halfway through. So he looked at that, he said to the woodcutter, "Why don't you sharpen that saw?" And the woodcutter said, "I don't have time." So... So the point is that knowledge destroys ignorance, which destroys doubt. Tasmata gyan sambhutam vitstanam gyanisatmanaha chitvenam samshayam yogam atishto atishto bharat. The doubt which has arisen in your mind out of ignorance should be slashed with a weapon of knowledge. So this is the first thing. But there was also one other personality in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam who became somewhat bewildered. Can anybody guess who that was? Indra. So Indra became even more... What it is, that first of all we become illusioned. And then when we carry on with a certain activity, that illusion increases. Jayato vishayang pungsha. Sangat teshu bijayate. Sangat sanjayate kama. Kama krodha bijayate. Then complete delusion eventually comes. And from that bewilderment, one loses one's intelligence and one becomes forgetful. And then one becomes very, very... One becomes mad. Nunam pramata kurate vikarma. And from madness, the madness of pride comes. So this was Indra's position. He was more... He'd been meditating on the material energy a little longer than Lord Brahma, and therefore he was more implicated. This is the point. Actually, there's another story. Has anybody heard the story of the shepherd and the king? So they were once, just like Indra, became very proud. One king, he woke up one morning and he was thinking to himself, "This problem has been here for a long time." So he shouted, "Minister! Minister!" So the minister came rushing into his room. "Yes, Your Majesty." He said, "I want you to answer this question." "Yes, Your Majesty." "Why does the Supreme Lord appear in this world?" What is his business? So the minister was somewhat taken aback, and he didn't know the answer. And this was a very ruthless king, so he had to think quickly. He says, "Your Majesty, this is not my field of expertise." He says, "But I can put this question to the court pandit. He will surely know the answer." "Do it immediately," said the king. So the minister went to the king. The minister went to the court pandit and asked him the same question, and he didn't know either. So he was worried. So when the king asked him, he said, "Your Majesty, this is a very good question. It will need some study and research to find the answer. Give me 2 days and I will come back with the answer." "Okay, do it immediately," said the king. So then the court pandits went to his room and started packing all his bags. And then he picked up his bags and he was going through the back door. And his head was down, he was looking very miserable. So halfway out of the kingdom, there was a shepherd in the field. And he said, "Panditji, why are you so miserable?" So the pandit half-heartedly answered, thinking there's going to be no result from a shepherd. And he gave him the question of the king. And the shepherd said, "That's easy. I can answer that question." So the pandit was enlivened, and he took the shepherd back to the king and brought him before the king in his chambers, in his assembly hall, and all the ministers and everybody was there. And the king was somewhat astounded at that a shepherd would know this answer. So he shouted at the shepherd, "Out with it, man. What is the answer to my question?" And so the shepherd said, "Your Majesty, there's some breach of etiquette here. When you are inquiring from me, so I should sit on the higher seat." So the king, all his ministers were laughing behind their hands, and said, "Your Majesty, this is proper etiquette." And so the king got down from his throne, and the shepherd got on the king's throne. And he says, and then he bawled at the shepherd, "Tell me the answer." And so the shepherd said, "The reason the Supreme Lord appears in this world is to bring down the false prestige of the arrogant." So, graphically, the king immediately understood. So this was Indra's position. When one forgets his position, he forgot there was a Supreme Lord above him. Just like Hiranyakashipu. And therefore, he tried to murder the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Can you imagine? So this is extreme pride. So how do we get rid of pride? How do we get rid of pride? Everybody knows. Being humble, that's the opposite of pride. So we either learn by hearing, we remain humble, but usually that doesn't last long. And so Lord Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "Yashyaham anugrinami harishye tad dhanamsha tato janam tadanchasya svajana dukha dukitam," that he takes away the cause of that pride. The very thing that makes us proud, then Krishna removes. So this is when he especially favours somebody. But actually, who does Krishna really favour? Is that his real favour? No, there's actually a better way. When somebody is able to maintain his equilibrium in all difficult situations, like we heard the other day, that the test of a Vaishnav is how he can remain steady in very provoking situations. So when we learn to do that, then we really get Krishna's mercy. Then we don't have things taken away. Automatically we're going to become humble. There's no big surrender to becoming humble. We've got nothing left. We've got no alternative. And then Krishna gives it to us back and we become proud again, and then he takes it away. No, better we can actually be intelligent. By this knowledge we heard about that Brahma learnt, then we add humility to it by good intelligence. Then Krishna gives us everything we need in order to practice devotional service and to push on this movement in a very progressive way. So that's really Krishna's mercy. When we can, he gives us the intelligence to remain humble. But it's up to us to have that desire. And as was said before, Hiranyakashipu had no desire. When Krishna sees there's some spark of desire in the heart, he can work and fan on that. This is why King Vena, no spark of desire. This is the difference. Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna every single day. But Krishna said, when once he blasphemes me one day more than 100 times, then he's finished. So he used to get up to 80, up to 90, and that was the take rest. But constantly blaspheming. And then at the Rajasuya sacrifice, he got really fired up. And he blasted Krishna 100 times. But this time, Krishna took his head off. And therefore he was liberated. So in the 7th canto, 8th canto, Maharaj Pariksit said, how is it that he got liberation? He just blasphemed Krishna all the time, blasphemed the Vaishnavas. Usually one goes to hell and never returns from that situation. And yet King Vena, he never really blasphemed Krishna. He was a bit of a rascal, but he went to hell. Why is that? So the answer is that Vena was completely indifferent. He didn't even have anything to do with Krishna. This is the point I'm making. There was no spark in the heart. So this is why we see inside ourselves there's both the demoniac and the divine. And sometimes the demoniac becomes very powerful and we become dejected. But we should understand that if Krishna can deliver Shishupal, if Krishna can forgive Indra, then we have to remain equipoised. We have to be determined in our daily devotional service. We have to meditate on the way we've gone wrong, but then leave it. Don't meditate. Don't let it become an all-devouring thing. So this is the other point. But actually, there's one more thing. We've got intelligence from knowledge, and we've got humility. Is that enough? We've got the association of devotees. Actually, what is the biggest sin in this world? What is the biggest sin? That's very close. I'm just going on what I've read. It's not that I'm the authority on this, but the biggest sin is to think we're the body. As soon as we think we're the body, then we make so many miscalculations on the basis of that. So atokena prayuktoyam papam charity purusha anicham apivarshneya niraham eva bhaskara. Krishna asks, why are we impelled to sinful activity? I'm even feeling forced to do it, as if against my will. And Krishna says, what does he say? Kama esha krodha esha raja guna samudva mahashana mahapapa papma vidyanam iha verinam. That it's this mode of passion, this enjoying spirit, material desire, sometimes called lust. This is the all-devouring sinful energy of this world. Because from this, one tries to enjoy the material energy. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions Krishna's energies. And it says, Manushyanam Sahasheshu. And then it mentions the 8 different energies. But they said there's another energy. What's that energy? Sorry? The living entities. How's that verse go? Aparayamitastvanyam. Prakriti vidij. Vidim Abraham. Jiva Bhuta Mahabaha Ho Yayedam Daryate Jada. This tendency to exploit, this lust in the heart, this material desire is the cause. So the process of removing that, as we know, is to become satisfied in devotional service. This is the other thing. We can have intelligence and humility, but without satisfaction of heart, then how can we actually carry on? What's that verse? Vishaya vinivartante niharasidinam raso varjam raso piyasya param drishtva nivarte. We have to obtain that higher taste. That higher taste is experienced in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear how bhakti pareshana bhava viraktir. Yanashe anitra chesrika ekakala. Prapadyamanasya yatasanta tushti pushti shud apayo nugasam. That just automatically when we practice devotional service, if we're practicing properly, then we'll feel pleasure. We'll feel nourished, satisfied. And therefore we won't want to engage in materialistic activities. Just like having a meal. If we have a meal, then we feel pleasure, satisfaction of our hunger. So therefore we're freed from hunger. What is it? Satisfaction, pleasure and freedom from hunger. So there's a process of practicing devotional service, not just blindly with these two ingredients, humility and intelligence, but also there's a mood. Lord Chaitanya gives us a clue in the Shikshastikam. He talks about humility also, in the third verse. Chinadapi sunichana, tadarapi sahishna, amanina manadina kirtaniya sahara. It's tolerance and humility. And this can be put into practice. Lord Brahma gives us the answer actually in the 14th chapter. First he says Tatenu Kampam when he's praying to Krishna. Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam Vidvagrapurbir Vidadam Namaste Jiveta Yomuktiparesa Dayabak. That if we carry on with devotional service in the proper mentality, that whatever difficulty comes, I'm due to. Then we can overcome a lot of problems. When we think this difficulty is actually more than I can take and I shouldn't be due to this difficulty, then the problems come. Because then we forget Krishna automatically. But if we're thinking that this difficulty is sent by Krishna, let me tolerate, then I see devotional service, or the goal of devotional service, becomes the rightful claim of that devotee. So that's the first point. But then a little later, Lord Brahma says that we need the shelter of your lotus feet. Atapite deva bhajambaram bhajambadvaya prasarat laseno grihita hevi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimna nachanya ekopi chiran vachindam. So one who is favoured by the shelter, a trace of the mercy of the Lord's lotus feet, we have to get that mercy. And by this attitude of Tattenu Kampam, we get the mercy. And then when we're favoured, then we can easily understand Krishna. This was Lord Brahma's problem. He couldn't understand Krishna. Why couldn't he understand him? Doubt had come in the mind, and that doubt was due to pride. There was a little bit of pride there. He'd become proud of his situation, controller. He'd become proud of his situation, so therefore he didn't get Krishna's mercy. He couldn't understand that this was Krishna playing with his boyfriends. So, one devotee was telling me, he said, I can't remember the story properly, he said, this person was about to leave his body, and his friend said, you've been such a rascal, how are you going to make it back to Godhead? He said, don't worry, I'll bluff my way back. When they start asking me questions, I'm very expert in arguing and presenting logic in such a way that I will defeat the opponents and I will go back to the spiritual world. So when he left, he explained this. He says, "But what about your pride?" And he shut up. He says, "That I cannot cover." And he realized he was defeated. So this pride is actually the beginning of everything. This lack of of identifying with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this last verse, later on, Brahma gives another verse to Lord Krishna. Samashrita ye padapalava palvam mahat padam punya yashomarare bhavambodir vatsa padam 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 yat vipadam natesham. He says the problems that we face in our devotional service can be immediately reduced to the size of a calf's hoofprint. The ocean, when we look at it, it's just mind-boggling. And when we look at a map and see that we are only seeing what we can't even get on the map. Very huge ocean. That is shrunk to the size of a calf's hoofprint. How? By taking shelter of Krishna. So this is the process. Tattenu kampam, atapite deva, padambadam dvaya. And then samashitiye padapalavapavam. Then all our problems are solved. So our attitude towards Krishna is the most important thing. So we should never judge devotees. This is the point. We can see externals. So many things may be going on externally. So many devotees may be performing so many activities and becoming so well situated. But really, Krishna has not seen that. Just like Lord Ramachandra, when Hanuman laughed at the spider carrying a little grain of sand, and then Lord Ramachandra said, he's doing as much as you. You're carrying a big mountain, but that's nothing. He's doing as much as you. So whatever we're able to do in devotional service, we should do it with full confidence that, let me do this to my best ability for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Krishna will be pleased by that activity. He's unconquerable by anybody within the three worlds. But if I have this mentality, then he becomes conquered by the devotee. Humility. Jnane priyasam udapashyanam antyeva. Jnane sthitasi shruti rakitim tanuvan manoli. What's that? Ye priyaso jito apitaisti lokyam. That if we have that humble attitude and we offer respects to our superiors and hear from them nicely, then that satisfies Krishna. And then our problems are over. So this makes us eligible for going back to the spiritual world, back to Brajdham. So in the 10th canto, the question is asked, what's the difference between the service of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma compared to the service of the residents of Vrindavan? And the answer is given. Well, I'll let you answer that one. I'm sure everybody knows. The difference between Lord Brahma's service and Lord Shiva's taken together and that of the Rajvasis, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. The Brajvasis have pure love. Yes. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they have some bodily identification. The biggest sin. They have some bodily identification. And therefore, they tend to think, I'm a controller. And this is their downfall. Whereas the Brajvasis have no bodily identification. So this engagement in devotional service in the mood of the gopis, Gopi Bhartu Kamalaya Das Dasanu Das, this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, will take us beyond all our impediments so that we can actually achieve the goal of Goloka Vrindavan. So thank you very much. If I can stop now if anybody has any questions or comments. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.